today we have the treat to have Reverend Massey here today. He is the director of Bridge Builders Ministries. I'm sure he'll explain a little bit about what that is. It's in the Detroit area. I guess at this time, Brother Massey, come share with us.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
This side be good or this side? Make your mind up. Make your mind up. All right, I'll take this side. I'll take this side. Amen. Certainly a pleasure and a privilege to be here this morning. I miss you, Pastor. Pastor Dummer. I just love that guy, you know. He was on the head of the credentialing board when I went through my licensing. And I think he made mention it took me, my licensing and my ordination process took about 8 years because they wanted me to finish school first, get my bachelor's in biblical study. But I just loved being able to talk with Pastor Dunbar from time to time. I usually tell most of the churches, I'm going to get up, I'm going to see you, and I hardly ever get around to it because a lot of things keep me busy because I make myself available, not just being busy to being busy, but making myself available to people, to the men and the women that I work with. But I'm certainly happy to be here this morning. I had to step outside to call my mother, and she usually tells me to tell everyone hello. She says, say hello to many. Is many here? She says, many people. Okay, amen. Say hello to many, many people. You get it? All right. I remember coming here some years ago with my father. He came to preach here. I also remember Pastor Dunbar was a student of my uncle. I don't know if any of you know of my uncle, Dr. James Earl Massey. So I'm not too far from the branch. I'm not trying to follow in his footsteps, but the good Lord has made a path just for me in ministry. So I just thank God for that. Just pray with me for just a moment. Pray for me and pray with me. Father in heaven, we bless your name, and we're just so thankful that you didn't make us all alike, that you made us in various different colors and textures and height and width, and you just made us all unique, and we just thank you for that gift of uniqueness. And we just ask right now in the precious name of Jesus, as you speak to our minds, to our hearts, to our spirits as to who you are and what your mission is and how we can fit into this picture, we will be all the more grateful. We just thank you. I thank you for each and every family member who is gathered here this morning. And I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would touch and bless them in a very special way. I don't know what they stand in need of, but you know all about everyone here, Lord. So I just ask, whatever it is that they desire, whatever it is that they stand in need of, if it's healing, if it's concerning their finances, if it's concerning a relationship, a loved one, someone in the hospital, Lord, just right now, in your precious and mighty name, reach out, touch, and bless as only you can do. And we just want to just say thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many glad to be here this morning? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to be alive, isn't it? It is. And I'm just such a believer in when I got up to praise God. I really enjoyed that. It's always good to praise God, especially in the presence of God's people, you know, we're witnessing to one another. And I'm just reminded, I didn't come to bring any horror stories or any sad stories, but I'm just reminded of the things that I've been through, the places that I've been. I was born Church of God. My grandfather, First Church of God in Columbus, Ohio, pastor, emeritus, Ulysses Jackson. My mother's parents were ministers. On my side, I come from four generations of ministers. So it's just being blessed, but I was the black sheep in the family. I steered away when I was about 13, and I was rebellious, and you know what happens to rebellious kids. They end up in a lot of trouble. Ended up going to jail. Yeah, Dr. Massey's nephew, Reverend Massey's son, Sister Helen Massey's son. Yeah, went to jail quite a bit. Went to jail so much that if you had anything that you wanted to write me, you know, in a letter, you could probably send it to the jail and I would have got it quicker. Then I finally went to prison. Yeah, I went to prison. Yes, I did. And I look back on that prison experience and I said, well, why me, Lord? Why me? You know, why did I have to go through the things that I went through? And he's reminded me that it was the choices that I made. But I'm also reminded of Romans 8:28, where it says that now we know, when we wake up to the awareness that now we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called by his name. And today God has taken my bad experiences, like he took Joseph's. Joseph went to prison, amen? And God took his bad experience, going to prison, being a slave, and turned it into good. And I believe that God can do, he does that with all of us. How many in this room today, in this sanctuary, are without sin? Have never committed a sin? Come on, let me see some hands. Nobody. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not to boast about this, but it's good to be in agreement. It's good to know who we are and where we come from. Amen? Amen. Your pastor called me and he said, well, Michael, he said, well, I'm meeting with the bulletin people, you know, the committee, and we'd like to know what your subject is and your text so we can put it in your bulletin. And I just thought that was just awesome, you know. And I said, yes, Pastor Dunbar. I says, out of the book of Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11. So if you'll turn with me there to Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Usually I like to stand. If you'd like to stand, stand. For those of you that can't, please don't try. And may the good Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. You can read along. I'm reading from King James, so we're all on the same page with the King James. We'll be good. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draw of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. May the Lord bless each of you in the reading and the hearing of his word. Have may be seated. If you look at that fourth verse, Jesus said unto Simon, he said, launch out into the deep. We want to talk a little bit this morning about launching out into the deep. But before I begin, I know all of us this morning are somewhat disturbed, somewhat alarmed, somewhat shaken. But I don't see any fear this morning in the face of what's going on in the world. We live in a day when everyone is facing some kind of hardship, but I can't see it and sense it in this room. In 1993, more children, 31 million, lived in low-income families. Nearly two of every five children live in low-income families. Foreclosures at this time are at an all-time high. Unemployment is skyrocketing as we speak. Sickness, disease, hunger, war, hatred, racism, suicide, and the list can go on and on and on. I went to see how many different diseases there are and sicknesses there are in the world on the internet. And I believe someone came up with some kind of a figure, somewhere around 2,700 or so different things in the world. I thought that was a phenomenal number, but nevertheless. But I'm in the midst of our composure this morning. I see everyone was happy. We all loved one another. We were glad, embracing, learning names, sharing, just being loving and kind. And I'm reminded that the Bible says, Lo, once I was old, I was young, but now I am old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. And we as the people of God, in the midst of everything that's going on in the world today, we're not feeling the pain, the brokenness like the people are out in the world. As a matter of fact, we are the strength, the backbone that those people need. Amen? But in the midst of all that's going on in the world, the church is still God's missionary to the world. The question this morning is, why did God create the church? And why did he choose this institution which he calls the church? Now, Ephesians 3 and 10, it tells us that God has chosen the church to make known his manifold wisdom. The wisdom of God is made known, it's made visible through the church. The church is a microcosm of the kingdom which is the larger expression of God's rule. Our job as the church is to live in a way that shows the world a clear picture of God's kingdom. People who want to see heaven at work on earth should be able to discover it in the church. The church exists because God chose the church as his instrument to make himself known in the world. Amen?
Amen.
The church is the instrument and the vessel God has chosen to use to reach our communities. The Bible doesn't say that God so loved the church, but that's the way church people want to act sometimes. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the who? That he what? Amen. God loved the world so much, he gave his only son. During worship this morning, all of the songs, the meditation, the scripture reading, you practically preached my message. You guys ready to go? No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Christians need to start loving the world enough to get the world saved. We're living in a time now where the world, people in the world, really need us. They really need us. People in the world are going through some things. That doesn't mean we need to love worldly ways. It doesn't mean that we need to love sinful ways. We need to reach out to non-Christians, to the unchurched, to the non-religious. And that's what God has called me to do. With all of that prison experience, with all of that street experience, running the street, selling drugs, and doing the things that I did, and encountering the people that I've encountered for almost 30 years because of what God has done for me today. So I can relate to the drug pusher. I can relate to the ex-felon. I can relate to a homeless person. I can relate to a person who hasn't had a meal, who has to eat something out of a garbage can. I can relate to a person who's living in an abandoned building. I can relate to a person who is suffering. I can relate to a person who doesn't have a dime in their pocket. It was many days I didn't have a dime in my pocket. Many days, there were some days I was downtown Detroit. I'm glad a lot of you didn't get a chance to see me. Reverend McTeer saw me. Tell him what you saw, Reverend McTeer.
I saw a beautiful guy standing out trying to sell a bad drug. Amen. And I said to Michael, I was looking at you because you were my friend. I said, Michael, you know that. I let him be.
And it was sad. It was sad. Sometimes I'd be out at the Coney Island. Sometimes I was so hungry, I'd have to dip off into a garbage can. You know, somebody would throw something away with styrofoam. But those were the choices that I made. I chose to live that way. I chose to spend every dime that I had. And after that, when I was hungry and couldn't turn to anyone else, I had to turn to the streets to beg. And so I know the condition of a lot of people. So what we do at Bridge Builders is restoration, reconciliation. I gave some of the young men some of the things, the flyers that we've got. We, Bridge Builders Restoration Reconciliation Ministry,
was formerly known as Prison Restoration Reconciliation Ministry. When I came home from prison, I used to take my dad to the Lapeer prison facility, up in Lapeer Correctional Facility. And he was working with, who's the chaplain there? Ron Knuckles, any of you know Knuckles? Ron Knuckles? Well, he was the chaplain, he's Church of God, the chaplain at the Lapeer Correctional Facility. I was on parole, so I couldn't go into prison, but I was a part of their prison ministry when I came home from prison. I would drive my dad from Zion Church of God, and we would go there, and I would drop him off, and I would ride up to Flint, and I would study. Then I would come back, pick him up, and take him home. After I got paroled and after I got involved with the prison ministry, I was working with young men coming out of prison, you know, on the street, not going into prison, but coming home. So working with them side by side, going places with them. Now I'm teaching classes to a ministry that has a contract with the Michigan Department of Correction. They've got both men and women. I'm a trained mentor. I'm a mentor trainer. Certified by the Michigan Department of Corrections Prison Fellowship. Now I'm a mentor matcher. I match men and women with men and women that have come home from prison. They offered me a job, 18-month contract with the Michigan Department of Corrections to work with Michigan Prison Reentry Initiative Program to work in the prison 5 days a week for 8 hours to get these young men and these women ready to come back. Because, you know, I don't know if any of you saw it last night. I think they're closing up 3 of the prisons up north. So these people are going to be coming back home, and we have got to be able to know what we're going to need when they come, because we don't want to give them any money, but we want to give them support, spiritual support. We want to be the church that God wants us to be to them. Amen. So just to share just a little bit of that with you. So we need to reach out to everyone, you know, especially the people that will be coming back from prison. You know, we need to love them. It takes a lot to love somebody like me or somebody who's just come home from prison. But I noticed that it's like a mother's love. I don't care how bad your child acts, you still love them. You love them unconditionally. You still tell them, you know, you're welcome in the house. I know one young man whose mother doesn't even let him come into the house. She'll let him come in the house, but then he has to leave. He called me this morning. He wanted to go to church with me, but we were already on our way halfway up here. So I told him, I suggested that he go to our church, Southwestern Church of God. And I guess he'll be there, because I told him I'm going to ask somebody, have they seen him there this morning? I hold all the men accountable under my leadership, under my mentoring. Can I have some of the guys that I work with stand up? Not you all in the back, because I don't work with them. And maybe they can give you a short, they can preach a little bit, and I'm going to ask them to hold it down about 30 seconds. You want to introduce yourself and tell a little bit of your story? Russell?
How you doing? My name is Rasul. Part of Three Leaders. Story is my mentor. I also mentor youth juveniles. I was incarcerated 15 years. Been home again now. God has blessed me. I'm getting married, as I told you, ladies, in Bible study. September 5th. Had 4 children, 2 grandchildren. Went up going to school for sociology.
You've been baptized?
Baptized.
Amen.
Church, Southwest Church of God. And God has blessed me so far with the business that's sitting off the ground, which I would know when I leave here today. And I just love the Lord all my heart and be proud of the tribulations, but I got to move. Shake him over through the way. And get together.
Amen. I told you, you can preach a little bit, dude.
This young man, I don't want to, I'll let him share with you 30 seconds. I just met him last week, Dodge Park. Any of you know Jerry Webb out of Dodge Park, Church of God? Okay. They came down to the Veterans Center, and this is where I met this young man. But he's here with me this morning. You wanna?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Truly, it's an honor to be here, because I'm only here by the grace of God. And like he said, I met the pastor who the Dodge ministry. I was down at the Detroit Veterans Foundation. That's where I resigned at. And I had just got home, likewise, from prison. But also I had gotten my license in prison ministry. And likewise, I was up north where they were going to close this prison at. But I was a minister before I went to prison.
Amen.
But see, this is going to show you how the Lord don't just throw you away, you know, because he said we all fall down when we get back up. But by the grace of God, we get back up. And, you know, it's just going to show you his love. When we mess up, he still holds on to us, you know, and your life seems like it's just gone away. But he don't just throw us away. He continues to work with us. And it's like, how can you say that you know something if you've never been through nothing? So sometimes you have to go through the storm to get to the other side. And I thank God for Jesus for taking me, for holding me through this storm in my life and bringing me through this other side to meet this great man.
Amen. Amen.
Great congregation.
Amen. Amen. I'm not... Amen. Just two young men who touched and blessed my heart that I've been able to pour into what God has poured into me. Amen. So back to our story. This is a wonderful fishing story. How many people here this morning love fishing? Can I see some here? Just about everybody loves it. How many people like to eat fish? Oh, everybody. All right. Amen. 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 You know, I used to try fishing. I tried my hand. I've never done any real, sports stuff. Maybe some pond fishing, the little goldfish. I've done that. Palmer Park in Detroit. I think I went to the Ohio State Fair. They had these catfish. They give you a pole. You stick it in this thing, and I think I got maybe about a 4.5. Is it 4.5 feet long? Is that too many? Can you catch a 4.5 foot catfish? They don't come in that size, right? Okay. Well, you've heard of fish stories before. You know, fishermen really love to exaggerate. Amen. Now, anyone know about bank fishing? Fishing off the bank. There's all kinds of fishing. You find that fishing fun, you just stay in one spot and fish off the bank, right?
It's okay.
It's okay? All right, okay. How about dock fishing? Anyone do any dock fishing? Fishing off the dock? Dock fishing, is that fun? Okay. How about fly fishing? Anyone fly fishermen in here? No? Oh, okay. All right. Praise God. You know what? But I feel like we as Christians, I may be speaking for myself, but I know sometimes I find myself doing it. We do too much bank fishing. We fish from the dock, and if the dock goes out into the water, we'll sit on the edge of the dock, but that's as far as we'll go. We'll sit on the dock. And that's as far as we'll go. We don't want to fish way out because we know there's too much danger out there in the deep water. You know, it's like the deep places that I go. But I've learned that. Be of good cheer. Do not fear. Be courageous. because I know God will not forsake me. I know that he won't leave me. I've just got to be courageous because I'm around people who have been in prison for armed robbery, assault and battery. But I mean, what should that mean to a child of God if we trust in God wholly? That doesn't mean we need to be fools for anyone. We have to train the same way we have to train for ministry. We have to be able to be trained to minister to the ex-offender, to the homeless person, so that we don't spoil them or give them something that is going to hurt them. Amen? Some of us are afraid to go into deep water because of the danger that lies there, the sharks and the stingrays. But then I'm reminded, what did Jesus mean when he told Simon to launch out into the deep? We have to be available, like the disciples were. They were available. They were just ordinary people, like you and I. They discipled and they ministered others. If you go out fishing for Jesus on death row, you may find yourself bringing in or reeling in a murderer or a serial killer. I'm reminded of a time I got a phone call from a lady at William Tyndale, one of the secretaries there. And she said, Michael, she said, would you do me a favor? I said, yes. I said, what is it? She says, my son's playmate or his friend, his father's in jail in Pontiac. I think this happened about 4 or 5 years ago. Or maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. So I said, yeah. And she went on to explain to me about an accident that occurred on 13 Mile or something, 14 Mile in Bloomfield Hills in the Woodward area. And it was this man who had took a lunch break, went to a bar, had had too much to drink, was driving down 14 Mile Road or Maple Road down there, and ran into a woman and her child in the car and killed them both instantly on impact. And he was hurt. I went to visit him in the Pontiac jail, awaiting trial. I think they wanted to give him manslaughter. But he was under the influence of alcohol, but still, yeah, even though he was in prison, even in his mind, he still needed somebody that had the love of God that would come and listen to him. And to let him know that if nobody else forgave him, then God has already forgiven you. You've just got to ask him. Amen? You know, I mean, we've all done some stuff, right? We've all done some stuff. Amen? Listen to this. A pastor's son and his mother had been to a shopping mall. And this little boy had acted so bad, wanting this. You know how kids are. I want this and I want that. He wanted this and he wanted that. And he ran off all through the store. So as they were driving home, he could sense how upset his mother was with him. And he said, Mom, when we ask God to forgive us when we're bad, he does, doesn't he? And Mama said, yes, he does. So the boy continued, and when he forgives us, he buries our sins in the deepest sea, doesn't he? The mother replied, yes, that's what the Bible says. The boy was silent for a while, and then he said, I've asked God to forgive me, but I bet when we get home, you're going to go fishing for those sins, aren't you? Too often we do go fishing for other people's sins that God has already buried. If you you go out in deep water to tell somebody about Jesus, I run into people that I can't repeat a lot of the things that they say. I teach some classes where I have people that believe in Islam. Some people don't believe in anything. Some people, I've got a best friend who's in Hawaii. We grew up together. He believes in Buddha. And I'm sure that there are other religions. There are Mideastern religions. There are the Hindus and there are the Buddhists. There are Indians, you know. So being a Christian, I have to be mindful and respectful of what other people believe in. I might not be able to reach them with the words contained in the Bible, but I can reach them by being an example of the Word of God wherever I go. And that's what we can do. We don't have to pound them with Scripture. We can just be that example, that godly man and woman that God has called us to be. So I suggest this morning, I don't care how deep that we go out into ministering to others, as long as Jesus is in the boat, there's no danger. And another thing, we need to use what we have. Look at your hand this morning. What do you have? You might see your hand and say, well, there's nothing there. You have hands. You have feet. Moses had a staff. David had a sling. Joseph, well, he had his dreams. And Simon Peter, well, he had a boat. What do we have? I've got a car that God has blessed me with. It's not mine, but God has given it to me to use and to be a good steward over. So I don't come to church. When I go to church, you see what I brought with me. I usually bring passengers with me when I go to church. Well, what's wrong with filling up our car or bringing someone to church? Is there anything wrong with that? No, I don't think so. So we have to learn to use what we have. On the telephone, I heard someone saying that being in the hospital, who was that visiting people in the hospital? Visiting the sick. Who does that in the church? Okay, visiting the sick, going to the nursing home. You know, using what we have, being a blessing to someone else. We need to discover the resources that God has given us. Then we have to have a mind and a willingness to serve. You have to have it in your heart. You got to want to serve. You got to have a willingness to serve. And this can only be had when you have the mind of Christ. Ezekiel, he was a man of unclean lips. David was a man after God's own heart. Jeremiah said, Lord, here I am. Send me. Being missional. Being missional means understanding God's mission. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our God is missional. The church is not a building. The church is composed of the members of the body of Christ, and Christ is the head, and he calls us his church. This is a place that we come to gather together. These walls is the body, the ecclesia, the members of the body of Christ. But the church is not a building. The church is the people of God. So being missional means understanding God's mission. If you go into the inner city
people might smell bad, they might look scary, and they do. But they're kind of people that you got to just hug them. Because if God loves them, so should we. You know, I remember a guy in the park. I usually go to the city council in Detroit and ask for a permit to be able to preach and feed in the park. And I don't know how many of you know where the old train station is in Detroit, down near Tiger Stadium. Well, anyway, you have to have a permit if you're going to preach. And since I'm a minister in the Church of God, I'm a member of the Church of God, I don't want to bring any bad stuff on us. So I'll go through the procedure, get the permit. So we go out there maybe two times a month during the summer, set up tables, take chairs out there. I have to send some DVDs so you can see what we do. And we take home-cooked food or whatever out there, and we feed everyone. We have church service. It allows the kids to participate. And one particular Sunday, we went out. It was a young man who looked a little bit really beaten, weathered in his demeanor. And he said, Pastor, he said, come here. And he wanted to share with me. And he told me, he said, I've got an HIV, and I'm just in so much pain right now. That the medicine that I've been taking for the AIDS, the HIV thing, he says it's not working. But he says, I want to give my life to the Lord. So I hugged him. And most of the people, I know a lot of people don't have that kind of heart, but I'll embrace you. I don't care what you got on, you know. Because I feel like this is only, God gave me this. He gave me a bunch of these. I hardly ever wore suits except when I was a kid. But now when I go places, I like to dress because I'm one of God's representatives. But when it comes to God's people, I embrace them. I hug them. If they smell like urine, I'm hugging them. If their breath smells real bad, I'm hugging them. But I might give them some mints or something, but I'm hugging them, you know. But you know what I mean. Just to put a little, you know, they're people like us. They're people that need our touch, our embrace. Them guys right there, isn't he adorable? Isn't the big guy adorable? Anyone want to adopt him? Yes. Well, I have. I've adopted him. Yeah. And he's outgrown me enough. So if any one of you want to adopt him, just let me know or let him know after service. All right? And we'll make the proper arrangement. So if you go fishing for Jesus in an AIDS or someone that's in hospice, you may be asked to hug them. You know, someone might need your touch before they die alone. So Jesus calls us as the church, the community, the body of Christ to go fishing for people like these disciples in the boat that day. We too are called to put the boats of our lives out into the deep waters and put our nets down to anticipating a catch. When you're fishing with a pole, there's only one guarantee. You won't catch but one fish at a time. Pole fishing is a very, very slow process. Jesus said, cast your net. Jesus didn't believe in bank fishing, dock fishing, pole fishing, or rod and reel fishing. Jesus believed in fishing with a net in a boat that was going somewhere. Most of us, however, like our comfort zone. There are times that I don't want to go places. There are times I don't want to go check on the young man that I'm working with. But then there's sometimes I hear it in their voice. What would I do for you, Michael? Or what have I done for you? So I have to get up out of my comfort zone. I know it's nice being comfortable, but sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zones. So when we're in our comfort zones, we prefer to fish discriminately, so we can catch fish just like us. We want to catch fish that look like us. We want to catch fish that smell like us. We want to catch fish that dress like us. We want to catch fish with the same or similar education like us. We want to catch fish with the same kind of financial resources like us. We know people like that. I only hang out with you because you look or you smell or you dress like me. I didn't come here, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about our mission in the world, in our communities. That's what's wrong with the church today. Too much pole fishing from our comfort zones. I was talking to Brother Jones, Brother Brown. I was talking to Brother Brown, and I was saying, this place should be filled. Don't you all agree? It should be filled. If each one of you brought one, and they stayed and wanted to come back, and they could provide transportation, they would invite someone else. This church has no, there is no reason why this church shouldn't be filled on Sundays and during the week. We just got to do our job. Amen? That's all. We just got to do our job, and no one to be blamed for anything. Just the thought, of sharing what God has done for us to someone else is just like telling one beggar where to find some bread at. Telling others what God has done for us. The first thing we notice in the text is the crowd is pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God. Look around you. How many people are pressing to get into our church? Huh? None. We might like the idea of people crowding into our churches, but I'm not sure about the pressing part. Why were so many people pressing in on Jesus? To understand this, we need to go back and listen to Jesus in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, was born of a peasant woman in an outcast manger. He began his public life with a declaration that embraced the needy, the poor. But when Jesus said that in that temple that day, everybody thought that Jesus was doing real good. Until he said that, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Then they said, wait a minute, wait, hold on. Isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't that a carpenter? We know him. Oh, that's the one that claims to be the Messiah. So they got mad. And what did? They tried to throw Jesus off of a cliff. But Jesus, over and over and over again, he stated his intentions. He said, they that are whole do not need a doctor, but them that are sick. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He spoke, Jesus spoke in Luke 5:31, he spoke pardon to a man palsied and sick with sin. Son, be of good cheer, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. In Matthew 9:5, he said to a poor woman, held up in public shame, he said, go and sin no more. Guilty and sorrowing people that were just miserable, They felt welcome to bow at and weep at Jesus' feet. They sensed and then saw that he would not turn them away. A lot of the men that I work with, a lot of the women that I work with, they can sense that I won't turn them away, but I won't give them everything that they ask for. I ask for receipts. I ask for proof. You need something, I'll get it for you. You need some food, I'm not going to give you money, but I'm going to buy you some food. If you need transportation, you can't get from point A to point B, get them a bus pass. Or to give somebody some money, to give someone a couple of dollars to transport them from here to there. Don't give them cash. Only when they've earned that right. So Jesus helped people who were hard pressed. You know, just telling people to be happy just doesn't work anymore. You know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating for me when people will tell me, I'm giving them one of those things, those pamphlets, those brochures. Out of every 100 that I pass out, maybe 5 people, maybe 5 now, will send in a donation. I know it's tight. But, you know, for what the type of work that I'm doing, that God is doing through me, it takes a little money to buy food for 150 people, to be able to buy food, bus passes, to be able to back and forth, gasoline, you know, and the clothes. They may need clothes, put their clothes in it, so they can come to church on Sunday, you know, till they can get up on their feet. So maybe 5 people. So people are like, Brother Massey, you're doing a wonderful work. I'm going to pray for you. I say, praying is fine and dandy, but I don't need your prayer. I need some money. Amen? You can pray for me all day long, but I need some money, you know. But you know what? Just telling people to be happy, you know, it doesn't work. It's frustrating. But you know, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it doesn't do that. It gives us a hope beyond everything that beats us down. You know, Peter called it joy, unspeakable joy, and full of glory. The key to a right relationship with God is to be involved in missions on foreign soil and at home. It's good to go to other countries to do missions work, but we've got mission in our own backyards. We've got missions in our home. We've got missions in our school. We've got missions in our public places. Amen? Neighborhood outreach is a form of missions. God rewards mission work. This is Christ's gift to the world today. His mission is to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to comfort all who mourn, and to anoint them with gladness that the Lord may be glorified. And he has made us partners with him in that mission. When Jesus was standing on there and he boarded that boat, Jesus created a church at sea. He created a worship center on the water. He placed a pulpit in the center of the people so the word could be heard. There are deeps all around us, my brothers and my sisters. There are personal deeps that have not yet been sounded. There are untouched deeps in prayer, in Bible study, and in the winning of others for Christ. There are deeps in our close acquaintance and relationship in Jesus, in purity of life, in sacrifice. There are deeps. There are deeps in giving. There are deeps in giving whose bottom has not yet been touched in our lives. Out into the deep comes that quiet, intense inner voice of Jesus speaking into our innermost hearts. There are great deeps in service waiting for our coming. Around every church is a perimeter of deep, sometimes a deep circumference, and just as wide. Places that have not been touched by the warm message of Jesus. In the heart and on the edges of every community and town and city lie unfathomed deeps. I was reminded of a potential. There is so much potential in this room. There is so much potential in the human mind. There is so much potential right around the corner, that cemetery down there. There's so much potential in that cemetery. There's songs that have not been sung. There's poetry that has not been recited. There are inventions that have not been put down on paper. There's so much potential out there. What are we doing with our potential? Amen. There's deeps in our land. Great untouched deeps in the world. Wherever there is a man, a woman, a boy, or a child, a little child who has not felt the warm side of the story of Jesus dying on the cross, there is a deep. When I think about what Jesus did for me, as he hung his head, as he stretched him wide, as he bled and died for you and I, I'm blessed. Wherever a group of people can be found that have not known Jesus or don't know Jesus, there is a deep. Wherever great crowds get together to whom no word at all has come, there is a deep. I can see with a deep glow in his eyes as he speaks the word in the tenderness and softness of deep emotion and the earnestness of one who has himself been in the deep. Jesus says, anew to us today, out into the deep. Use what you have. Do not despise the stuff God put into you. Train and discipline it the best you can and use it. And in using it, you will be training it. The best training is in use. Brains and pains and prayer are an irresistible trinity. There's a last word that comes up that insists to be said this morning. It is this. Jesus went down into the deeps for us. Deeper deeps than we know or ever shall. He sounded with the light of his own life on our behalf. He got badly scarred that night of darkness. It is this scarred Jesus who sincerely asks us this morning to come along after him so far as we can. His voice with the tenderness of love fashioned into it on the cross. And he says to us, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Amen.
It's been a humbling and a very touching moment for me to be embraced by you all. You are such a loving congregation. I just feel the Spirit of God all over each and every one of you. There has not been a person in this congregation who I have not touched. Have I touched and shaken hands with just the one, everyone this morning? And I have felt the warmth and the glow the kindness, the compassion of the love of Jesus Christ on all and each and every one of you. And I want to thank you this morning for making me feel so welcome. Thank you. And God bless. This is missions work, what you're doing. And I want to thank you and ask God to continue to bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
God bless you.